Wish to greet each of you again this evening in the name of Jesus. It's good to see your faces again. I want to express my appreciation for your kindness and hospitality to my family today. Thank you for your prayers. A number of you have mentioned that, and I appreciated that. As I have felt the weight of this discussion, it was encouraging to me to hear the words, "I'm praying for you." Thank you. Last evening, we looked at developing wholesome relationships, and we focused on our heart and the condition of our heart. This morning, we looked at mending broken relationships. Again, we looked at ourselves. It's really, that's all we have control over, with God's help. This evening, we're looking at maintaining sustainable relationships. Again, we're going to look at ourselves. What does it mean to maintain? This evening's subject would be suggesting that we are looking at maintaining what we have. We're focusing on maintaining, keeping going. Maintaining is to keep in good repair. Sustainable is to provide with nourishment and hold up under. So we have the thought suggested in this that there's going to be, like I mentioned this morning, when something is broken, pressure has been exerted on it stronger than it could bear, and it broke. So this sustainable means that there's going to be some pressures coming on our relationships, but we want to look at things this evening that will pull us through the pressures, help us to not break and fall apart. Since the fall of man and the associated curse on the earth and the human race, the process of decay and death has been set in motion. And it's a normal process of life that things decay and wear out. And we know, us men know, and women as well, when you prepare your to-do list for your husband, we understand that there's maintenance that needs to be done. There's maintaining. We're familiar with the preventative maintenance things today. We want to keep things in good working order. We're familiar with that. Relationships, and I came across this illustration in Simon Schrock's book of A Smoother Journey. And he says this, and I liked it. It's very simple, but our relationships together are a lot like a bearing. You know what a bearing is? A bearing is something that enables a shaft to turn freely inside of something else without a lot of problems. And relationships are a lot like a bearing. A bearing that receives constant grease and oil on a consistent basis will run smoothly for a long time. And of course, we can go into these subjects of what kind of oil to put in there to get, do you use synthetic or don't you, and all that. But if sand gets in the bearing, it will be ruined almost instantly. It will be ruined quickly. And if nothing is done, and the bearing is allowed to run dry, it will eventually break down and fall apart as well. That's pretty much how relationships are. Our relationships with each other are just like that. We can choose to insert the carnalities of self-control and ill will and backbiting, self-centeredness, attitudes, and we can watch them die almost before they begin. Or we can choose to do nothing and watch them decay over time. Just do nothing, like we talked about putting into relationships earlier messages. Or we can choose to put into these relationships virtues of a spirit-filled life and enjoy peaceful, fulfilling relationships. It doesn't guarantee that there is not going to be stress in these relationships. It doesn't guarantee it isn't going to take work. But it does guarantee that we will have, when we have a spirit-filled life and we follow God and His Word, it does guarantee that we can experience rest and fulfillment and peace in our spirit. I would like you to turn to 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23, verses 14 to 18. I want to look at the relationship again of Jonathan and David just briefly. I was studying, well, for my personal devotions, I read through 1 Samuel, and the friendship of Jonathan and David is tremendous. And I would just like to read verses 1 Samuel 23, verses 14 to 18, as just a background of scripture before we move into the message. Verse 14. Keep in mind here that Jonathan's father, Saul, is seeking David's life, and he wants to kill David. And Jonathan and David have a friendship, a relationship established that is deep and fulfilling. Verse 14 of 1 Samuel 23, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. I want you to notice verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. And I do not think we read any more of them meeting again till before Jonathan was slain in battle. Relationships take time. Relationships take time. We are very busy people. And sometimes we do not take the time that we need to simply maintain and build relationships because we're too busy seeking whatever it may be. It may be right things. But we don't take time. I would like to look at the message and look at a number of points that I have. And I've titled this Christian Virtues That Maintain Relationships. Very simple. My prayer is that the Spirit of God will speak to your heart again this evening in relation to these, where it meets you. Number one, a virtue that maintains relationships is wholehearted humility. Wholehearted humility. Romans 12:3 verse says this, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You want to maintain a relationship and keep it working? Possess wholehearted humility in your heart. Childlike humility. Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children are quick to forgive and move on. They're quick to accept another child. At least the very young children are. They're quick to receive. They're quick to share. We need to teach that, yes. But they're, as we teach them, they're generally very easygoing. Humility makes room for others. Humility makes unity a possibility. Wholehearted humility. Pride is the opposite of humility. Maintaining sustainable relationships. Humility or pride, you will choose one of those two. I don't know if you will choose. Humility is more of a state of, it's a state of being. I'm not sure if you know if you're humble or not. I'm not sure. I suppose you can by reading the scripture and opening yourself to the Spirit, but when someone comes to you with a concern, wholehearted humility or pride will make a difference in how you respond. And how you respond. Excuse me. We said this morning that offenses will come, and offenses do come. But humility makes a difference in our response. We could talk more about that. I'll leave that point. Number two. Another virtue, number two, I've named it this one, encouraging empathy. Encouraging empathy. Now, what is empathy? Empathy is the experiencing as one's own the feelings of another. We're talking about maintaining sustainable relationships. You want to maintain a relationship with your brother and sister, your family, your children, the boss. You want to maintain those. We're interested in those. We know that God cares about them. Think about the feelings of the other person. Empathy. Is it possible to develop empathy when you're self-centered and self-controlled and wanting things for yourself? You see, empathy, this is how empathy works. Just one illustration. In the home, let's look at it this way. In the home, husband, you come home from work, you're tired, you've had a hard day, or maybe you had an easy day, or I don't know what you had, but you're ready to get home, you're ready to relax, and you walk up to the house and you hear before you get in the house that things are a little tense. There's maybe a crying baby, and you open the door, you come in the house, and your wife, in desperation, she has had a rough day. She has had a very rough day, and the normal greeting that you would so like to expect, what you dreamed about on your wedding day or wherever it was you're dating, that normal greeting of coming home from work, it's not that normal greeting. Rather, the baby is given to you, and can you take this baby? I need to clean up this spill over here. It just happened. Can you do this? The wife may be in tears. The virtue of empathy in the heart of the husband feels the stress of his wife. And rather than sink down in his chair and get the latest magazine or whatever it is, or resorting to sharp words of criticism, empathy feels the pain of his wife and pitches in and helps. Encouraging empathy. You see, there is an unspoken language in our relationships. I don't know if you know that or not, I'm sure you do. But there is an unspoken language. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit more in the next point when we talk about communication. Some people find it very hard to feel another person's unspoken words. And we need to be careful in that, how we don't surmise or jump to conclusions or you know how you feel when you talk to someone and you're sharing something with them and they look at you in the eyes and they say, you know what, I understand what you mean. I understand what you're saying. And you know that they feel with you. It sustains, it builds you, it encourages you. Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Having compassion, it's another form of empathy. Compassion, love. See, without humility, empathy is not a part of our experience either, most likely. Moving on to number three. Another virtue of maintaining relationships is Christian communication. Christian communication. We communicate to each other in primarily two ways. We communicate non-verbally, and we communicate verbally. I found it very interesting to notice, and these percentages are probably varied depending where you look, but non-verbal communication accounts for about 55% of our communication. Nonverbal communication. Tone of voice accounts for about 38%. And verbal communication, what the words we actually say, are about 7% of our communication. I am told that rolling of the eyes, it rates up very high on the lists of, I'm not sure what you would call it, but of broken relationships, broken marriages, where things are said and then there's that eye roll, you know. It tells deeply, reflects deeply the heart. What does your body language say to your brother and sister? What are you communicating by the things you do not say? Verbal communication, we certainly need. Actions speak louder than words, we have been told. In our communication, I believe the Bible teaches us as brethren and sisters and as relating together, our communication is to involve blessing and not cursing. It is to involve exhortation. It is to involve admonition. It is to involve speaking the truth in love. It is to involve grace. Let your words be seasoned with salt, of grace seasoned with salt, however that verse goes. But kindness, love. How we communicate has a great impact on how our relationships will be maintained and sustained. Relationships are maintained and sustained as we speak life into individuals. Speak life. Encouragement. We need to say the hard things to each other at times. We do. And we need to receive the hard things from each other. I think it's so beautiful when together we encourage each other, strengthen each other. There may be a period of time where we're working through a relationship. But as we seek God's face and work together, it can develop into beautiful, deep fulfilling relationship. Angry words and curses inject sand into the bearings of life. And we can do it so easy, so quickly. We can let something go, let a word slip, a derogatory remark, whatever it may be, accusations, and we injure the heart of another person. Another aspect of good communication is the ability to listen. Good listening does not just happen. It takes a concern for the souls of men, and it will not be possible if we are preoccupied with our personal agendas. But good listening. Listen to what the person is saying. Listen to them. And sometimes you can hear what they're not saying too. And you can ask them. And leads into deeper discussion. It is listening. It is when a person takes the time to listen when relationships grow. If you're truly concerned about your brother and sister, and you truly love them with Christ-like love, just ask them about their day. Ask them about what they're doing. And listen. And listen. And you know what? By and large, people will just talk to you. They will share their heart to you. And when they're all done, they will tell you, "Thank you so much. I needed that. And all you did is, well, I didn't do anything. I just listened. You did a tremendous amount." I say today, we have a need for people who are willing to listen. And not only listen, but they are willing to empathize and feel. Number 4. I've just simply titled this one, Living Love. Living Love. My time is slipping away. I do not want to keep you long tonight. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I am not going to say a lot on this point, but I'm going to read to you most of 1 Corinthians 13. I would like you to turn there. And I would like you to engage your spirit with God's spirit. I would like you to engage your mind as we read this. And I've called this Living Love. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I will confess to you that in my own heart, I have a lot of room to grow. Because I'm provoked at times. And It's right to be stirred in the Spirit. That's what motivates us. But what I'm talking about is the provoking that is not under the blood, is what I'm talking about. Love. Sustaining relationships, maintaining relationships. Oh, today, husbands and wives, whoever you are, whatever your relationship is, let us love in word and deed. Love in action. Living love. We may have all the right things in order, but yet, someone that knows us really, really well, is really close to us, is hurting because of us. Because of the lack of love. Number five, maintaining sustainable relationships, grateful giving. Grateful giving. Give. Give. Give to others. Proverbs 17:8, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. I believe this verse is referring to the fond feelings of friendship we experience as we use the things that we have been given as a gift. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. We use things that were given to us and we think about the individual and we have fond memories. Give from the heart. It maintains and builds relationships. Give. Give. Give time. Whatever it is, give. You have to be an unselfish person is a giving person. Give as the Lord has prospered you. In conclusion, I would like to read Matthew 25:31-46. I guess really what I'm trying to say at the close of this series of relationships talks. Relationships, I started out this series by asking a question, do relationships matter to God? And we concluded that yes, they matter. A saint in heaven will first be a saint on earth. Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Living relationships. Living. Let's simply be what God has called us to be relationships matter to God. Relationships matter in eternity. God bless you.